You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Well, it's exciting to be here. We have so enjoyed all the many things God has been doing in our lives, in your lives, throughout this region, and to have this opportunity to come and look into your faces and just share together of the goodness of God is truly a privilege. And thank you for that video. Thank you, Greg, for all that you've been doing, and Justin. And it's just great to see that we are serving a God that has a big plan, right? You know, sometimes you think about how things are going to go, and you wonder how things are going to go. Doors open, doors close, and then God pulls back a big plan, and you're like, "Wow, this is amazing!" And the one that has drawn the blueprint has promised to provide all we need, and that's what's exciting. So I'm excited to be here, and I just wanted to say, for my wife and I, and at the end, my family will be coming up to share a song with you. But, you know, not only the being able to partner together as churches, that's been so rich. It's been a blessing that it's hard to find words to describe. But I just want to say, for my wife and I, the blessing it's been to find a church family, a family of churches that we can call home, has meant so much to us personally. And the relationships that have been established, the things God is doing as we partner together is great. But it's so meaningful to us as a family, to my wife and I especially, to be able to have the relationship that we have. We were here at your partner's party, and we left here saying, wow, we just felt right at home. It was like coming home, so to speak. Even though our church family, Living Hope Church, is definitely home for us, and we're excited, and it's where God has us and where we belong, there's a connection here that's stronger than the fact that we're 25 miles from each other. There's a connection here. There's a kingdom connection here that goes deeper and stronger than bloodlines or location, and it's because it's a work of God and a work of the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, that's exciting to us. That is truly meaningful, and I know it will reap many benefits and blessings in the kingdom. You know, as exciting as the church building, you know, just seeing how God has brought that together, that's amazing. And the opportunities, we look forward to seeing God continue to unpack that as he opens doors of ministry and opportunity through that. It's truly great. But I'm telling you, as we were worshiping today, as exciting as all these things are, I'm excited to be here to tell you about Jesus today. Because I'm telling you, he is what it's all about. He is what has changed my life, changed my destiny, changed my future, coming to know him. And I'm excited to be a part of a church that's excited about Jesus. Because that's really what it's all about. And especially as we go into this holiday season, to be able to explore together and live out together what it truly means to understand Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, it's true, as we hear and as Jesus shared in John chapter 4, as he was talking to the woman at the well, he said to her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we understand that reality about God, that he truly is a spirit, and we worship him in that way. And he shows up in our lives in so many ways that are unpredictable and unplanned and unscheduled, but that's how God works. Jesus said, it's like the wind. It blows, you see the effects of it, but you can't see the wind itself. And that's an amazing part heart of the Church of Jesus Christ that is real to us, but I think so many times we tend to stop there. We tend to stop at the part, and we get so excited about the work of the Spirit of God in our lives that we forget the reality that God has called us and wants to reveal Himself in and through us. His body, His church, flesh and blood. You know, while it's true that God ultimately is in heaven and in a distant place, the reality is that you and I get to experience Him, and He inhabits us in a real way. The reality of knowing God isn't just for a few people that are able to, that have good cell phone service, you could say, and are able to dial into God once in a while and get something from heaven. No, it's for all of us. It's for all of us to experience the knowledge of knowing God and walking with God and have Him working in our lives, changing our lives, and meeting us in our darkest, hardest moments with His presence and with His grace. Because our God isn't a God that will stay inside buildings and will stay inside of our programs and will stay inside of our projections, because our God is bigger than that, and He delights in confounding the wise, and He delights in lifting up the needy. And that's truly who our God is. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but He must increase. Whatever it takes for the increase of the purposes of God, whatever it does to me at the end of the day, John the Baptist said, sign me up. I'm in for it if it means that Christ can be exalted. You know, the children of Israel had problems with this. They had this understanding of God. As we look at the time when Moses went up on the mountain and he went up to talk with God, and they were okay. They were okay with the cloud leading them through the desert and the fire by night leading them through the desert. They were okay with that. They were okay with Moses going up on the mountain and getting a word from God and coming down with his face glowing. They were okay with that, but they said, leave God there. We're afraid. We're afraid if He comes close to us, what will happen? And that's too many times, I think, the way we want to interpret God and we want to fit Him into our lives. We want God, but we're afraid to open up our inner being to Him. We're afraid to experience Him personally. We're afraid to trust our brokenness. We're afraid to trust our neediness. We're afraid to trust our impossibilities to His possibilities. Because we wonder what He's going to do. Is He going to shake things up? But if we truly understand Emmanuel, we understand that it requires you and I to open our inner being to this God, to say, God, you have went off the script, but that's okay. You are fulfilling what you need to fulfill in my life, and that is what it's all about, because my whole inner being desires to experience God with us, so that we together as a Church of Jesus Christ can truly be a habitation of God through the Spirit. God's looking for places, for people, for churches, for homes, for small groups, whatever it might be, to show up in, to speak through, to work, to actually inhabit in a real way. There's the verse in the Bible that says, the eyes of God are looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards Him. All it takes, folks, is a heart like Mary, the mother of Jesus, that said, what do you want to do with me? What do you want to do with me? That's what it requires. And God shows himself strong in the behalf of those people. God shows himself strong in amazing ways. And God actually comes and meets with his people. In Matthew chapter 17, we have this interesting account where Jesus here was interacting with the disciples. And it tells us here in Matthew 17, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up a high mountain by themselves. And when he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter, in answer, said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus, I love that. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountains, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. You see, I think so many times as I look at this account and apply it to us today, we have these experiences with God. We have these moments with God. We have these times with God like Peter. And we're like, wow, let's build a tabernacle here. Let's build it. Let's make this a memorial. Let's make this a holy place. Let's make this spot a place to be remembered. And we get focused. We get focused on the event that happened, or we get focused on this amazing thing that happened. And while that's right and good, sometimes we get so focused on the program and on the great thing that happened 40 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago that we forget that Jesus himself is in our midst. And that Jesus himself is at work in our lives, and Jesus himself is here to fulfill his purposes and his understanding in our lives. And I just love this example here where Peter was like saying, let's make this a memorial. Let's make this a place that can be remembered for the rest of the time. And then this voice boomed from heaven, this is my Son. Hear him. And there was a revelation of an almighty God that is working in real time and is hearable and seeable by the hearts and minds of humanity. And in that moment, the disciples fell flat on their face on the ground. And I just love that moment as they were flat on their face on the ground in desperation and loss and in despair. And I don't know what was going through their mind. Jesus comes to them himself. And touches them, says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And they got up, and it was Jesus only in their midst. And they were standing there in awe of that reality. They were standing there in awe of that reality that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who they've been walking with, who they've been walking by, they've seen him doing miracles, they've seen him doing things, that he in fact is here in present form as God with us. And they were awed by that fact. They were awed by that reality so much more. And they were comforted by it as well. Jesus, when Jesus shows up, he connects us with the living God. When Jesus shows up, he enables us to make this unrelatable God relatable to ourselves and to humanity around us. And that's why it's important that we as a church continue to have a hunger and thirst after the reality and revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's what the world is dying for. They're hungry to know and experience giants, a God that will meet them at their lowest moment, a God that will meet them in their hardest spot. They're hungry for that. We don't have to come up necessarily with more user-friendly, program-driven churches, but we need a church where Christ drives the program, where he directs us to the needs in our community and the needs around us. You know, glorious as the book of Acts is, Acts chapter 2 is an amazing revelation of the Spirit of God coming and moving and affecting multitudes of people. But I think sometimes we stop with Acts chapter 2 and forget about Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John were going on a walk one day and they were going into the temple to pray. And who do they come across? There's a lame man. Now that lame man, he was there every day. There was no new thing. The church could have walked right on by the lame man that day. Nobody would have known the difference. It wouldn't have changed the reality. They could have walked right by the lame man that day, and he was like a permanent figure in the town. He was that corner of town that everybody knew was a dump. You know, it was not going to change. It was going to be that way, and people would look at the lame man with care and gratitude, and once in a while give him a few cents or a few pennies or whatever. But no, Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit, they saw something totally different. They saw a Jesus Christ opportunity. They looked at him and they looked at his lameness and they said to him, "Silver and gold we don't have today, buddy, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what we have we give to you. Rise up and walk." And that lame man that day realized that and experienced Jesus Christ personally, because there were two men who were walking into the temple to pray that were seeing the needs of their community through the eyes of the creator of that community. And that permanent figure in the community had a change that day because he encountered God with us through Peter and John. And that is how you and I need to look at the situations in our life, especially this holiday season, that you and I can realize that God with us means God working in and through you and I to affect the communities around us. Acts chapter 4, they went on preaching and ministering, and the people said, "These guys have been with Jesus." That's all they could figure out, because they were uneducated and they didn't know a lot of stuff, but they were changing the world. And the people finally concluded, we don't know what happened to them, but one thing we know, they've been with Jesus. And that's what we see happening right now. And that's what the world around needs to see, is you and I, that we have been with Jesus. You know, you're praying for your village. God bless you. Keep praying. This is a moment for you as a church. I really believe that. And I just, you know, what would happen? I don't know if they're having real village meetings or not, or virtual, but what would happen if some of you would show up and just say, "We just want you to know we are praying. We just want you to know that God loves Messina. We just want you to know that we love Messina. And we just want you to know that God's plans for Messina are not over and good things are coming." What would that do? What would that do? Where are you from? Oh, we're from New Testament Church. But you can be a voice. You can be a voice of the purpose of God for your community in this critical moment. God leads you and God bless you. But let me tell you, this is what it's about. This is what it means, God with us. God with us. John chapter 20, we read how Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 17, you know, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody till after I rise from the dead. So let's see what happens after he rose from the dead. John chapter 20. Verse 11 says, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have taken him, where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." I just love this picture here as we see Mary interacting with Jesus here. First of all, not knowing that it was Jesus, not knowing who this person was that she was exchanging conversation with. She was concerned until the point where she heard her name. She knew that the gardener didn't know her name, but she knew Jesus knew her name. And in that moment, her eyes were open. In that moment, she realized that she is talking to Jesus himself. She's not groping around looking for a dead body that, yes, amazingly died on a cross, and yes, amazingly did many miracles. She didn't realize she's no longer looking for a dead body that she was going to have to find a grave for. She realized that she is looking face to face into the living Son of God. The one who had loved her, the one that she had a relationship with. And in that moment, I believe it gives a picture here that she just threw her arms around him and she didn't want to let him go. And Jesus said, no, I'm ascending. I'm not finished yet. I'm ascending to your Father and my Father, to your God and my God. And I believe what Jesus was saying to her, don't make this a sacred moment and a sacred spot, because the reality is from this day forward, I will be in you. I will be with you. I will work through you. And he said, in fact, you be the first apostle, Mary, and go tell the disciples. Go tell them. In Matthew, it tells us that at this time, it was Mary and Mary Magdalene who were walking away from the tomb, and Jesus met them and said, go tell the disciples. Go tell the disciples. I just love that picture here of Mary, the two Marys, going to the disciples and saying, guess what? We found Jesus is no longer dead. He is alive. And just like that, Jesus shows up in the room, in the closed doors that they were hiding behind in fear. That is Jesus, my friends. That is Jesus. He meets us at the tombs in our life. He finds us behind our closed doors, and he reveals himself to us, and he tells us, do not fear, because I am with you, and I will never leave you or forsake you unto the end of the age. The commission to the church is that he will never leave us or forsake us as we, like Mary and Mary Magdalene. You may say, well, who are these women? These are women who had got delivered from demons. These are women who had got cleansed and healed by Jesus. They didn't have a lot of education or ability to do a lot, you might say, but they were filled with a message, and a message about Jesus that they were even commissioned to go tell the disciples about. Isn't that beautiful? You might say, well, what can God do with me in these days? Let me tell you, God's commission is upon your life. And I don't know where you've come or what you've come through, but let me tell you, God has a calling upon you to go and herald his message. Go and herald his message. God is with us. When Jesus is no longer a body that walked the earth 2,000 years ago or an empty tomb, but that which makes God my God and the Heavenly Father, my Father, and your God, and your Father. That is what Jesus, the message he was trying to get across to the people that day. You know, and ever since that, Jesus has been at work through his people, changing cultures, changing lives, changing situations, giving hope to the hopeless, working in ways beyond our ability, and changing the purposes of so many people. And that's what's so exciting as we think about God with us. God with us. You know, I look at my own life and I see how as God first began to reveal himself to me in this way, and where I first started feeling the commission of God upon me to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ on this earth. And as that became the focus of everything I did, the way I did business, the way I pastored, the way everything about me, let me tell you, it cost me over time. It has cost me everything. But when it costs us everything, God just gives back more, because he won't be defeated when we are about his purposes. And that's what we need to get a hold of. Too many times, I believe, as God lays, you know, visions upon our pastors' hearts or leaders' hearts, sometimes it's easy. Well, what's going to happen? Or what are people going to say? Or what's it going to cost? But let me tell you, God will provide. When there's a church that is focused on living out the calling and commission of Jesus Christ here on this earth in the locations where he has put us. Revelations tells us that the Spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I just love that. As Jesus reveals himself in the church, in people's lives, and people begin to be healed and saved and changed and set free in real time, current events. Yes, I love to hear about things that are going to happen in the future, but I love it when people's lives are being altered by heaven through the revelation of Jesus, through the hands and feet of the body of Christ. Let me tell you, that is a powerful opportunity we have. John goes on to tell us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He later goes on and says, we touched him. We handled him. There was a reality John is trying to get across to us, that Jesus Christ is, he is God with us. He is something that is tangible, something that the world around us, if we are willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus, will actually experience and see in a real way, just like they did in the book of Acts. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. To realize that in a day where there's so much hopelessness, you and I can be a part of the answer as we listen and respond to the call of God. Jesus said, if you and I refuse to be the matter that allows the spirit expression, he said, I will find rocks and they'll do it for me. But his first choice is you and I. That you and I would be that, because something happens. Something happens in our life. Something happens in our life when the Spirit of God intersects with you and I in a real practical way, and Jesus Christ is revealed to us. We become the living mouth and hands and feet of Jesus on this earth, and that's his will for us. That's his plan for us, and he'd rather use us. Anybody, if he can't use us, he said he can go to the rocks and they'll do it. So I believe there's hope for you and I. I believe there's hope for everyone in this room. Because, friends, Christianity was never meant to be a movement. The believers by their life were called Christians. They did Christ. They walked it out. They lived it out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the people around them said, they are Christians because of the life they were living. So what am I saying? To summarize what I'm saying to you as we think about God, Emmanuel, God with us, is that God shows up with the broken. God shows up with the broken. If you're here today, your life feels broken. You've been trying to fix it. You've been trying to change it. You've been trying to become good enough. That's not what the Bible tells you to do. Jesus here is present by the Holy Spirit. And if you open your heart to him, he will meet with you and reveal himself to you and use you for his purposes. That was one thing as a young couple, as we were feeling the call of God in our lives, and but yet felt so much weakness, so much brokenness. I remember a time where we were at a service, and there was a call and a commission to the work of God. And despite our brokenness, despite our sense of like we don't have our act together, I remember my wife and I going forward that night as a young couple and just giving our lives to Jesus and saying, "Do with us whatever you would want to do with us." And let me tell you, it's been 20 years of challenges and losses and unbelievable things that have taken place. But let me tell you, God is fulfilling his part of the deal. He's leading, he's supplying, he's working. And I just recommend that to all of you. No matter where you find yourself, give yourself to God by faith and let him use your life. Let him fulfill the eternal purpose that he has for you. God shows up with the broken because they're listening and they're hungry. Jesus said, the blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're the ones that will be a part of my economy. They're the ones that will handle my treasures. They're the ones that will do the work that needs to be done on the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And the fact is, the broken have nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose. They have nothing to protect. They have nothing to coerce into their agenda because they come just as they are. God reveals himself not only to the broken, but to the faithful. Jesus said, blessed are those that are hunger and thirst after righteousness. What? For they will be filled. They don't talk about peace. They don't talk about love. They don't talk about unity. They are peace. They are love. They are unity. They stand in that place. And as Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. For what? They will be called children of God. When you and I step into those places and become the hands and feet of Jesus, we truly reflect our Heavenly Father. You know, Luke chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he said, I have cast a fire upon the world. And lo, I keep it until it burns up. You know, I believe that fire is the reality of the kingdom of God, Jesus present on this earth, fulfilling his purposes, fulfilling his agenda, fulfilling his calling. And I think so many times we as a church or as people, we get close to that fire, we feel the heat of it, and we back away from it. You know, we feel the reality of it, what it costs to be a part of the kingdom of God, and we misunderstand it. And I heard a description of that verse where it said, to be near the fire is to be near Jesus and to be near the kingdom. And I look back over this past year and look at some of the decisions and some of the steps that you as a church have taken. And truly, in some of those decisions, you felt some fire, but you didn't back away from it. You said, this is what we're here for. This is what God has called us to do. And God has blessed that. And God has put his amen upon that, has he not? And I just want to encourage you, God's not finished. God's not finished using you. God's not finished opening doors. God's not finished leading you into the fire of his kingdom and the fire of his presence. And that can be applied to you as a church or even you as an individual. Because let me tell you, in the midst of losses and trials, we tend to want to back up. We tend to want to say, what is going on? But the reality is we have the Spirit of God within us. We will know this is the kingdom of God at work upon this earth. And we will give ourselves to be a part of it. God shows up to the broken, the faithful, and God shows up to those who can see God in the one. Can see God in the one, just as Peter and John did. Just as Peter and John did. Matthew 25, Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it to me. It comes down to the one. I read a quote the other day, dear church, forget better live streams. Feed the hungry. care for the sick, be kind to the strangers, love your neighbor, remember the prisoner, stand up for the marginalized, rise for the broken. Jesus waits for us there. And it's so true. Ann Voskamp wrote, Advent doesn't deny the dark within us. Advent isn't afraid of the dark around us. Advent doesn't rush through the dark ahead of us. Advent sits in the dark and yearns for the light of the only one who went to the tree of Calvary to shatter the dark for all of us. And that's what it's about. One of our anniversaries, I forget which one it was, God really stamped this on my heart in a deep way. My wife was 8 months pregnant, and we were trying to figure out. She was actually due right around the time of our anniversary, and we were trying to figure out how we're going to celebrate our anniversary. And we decided, well, we'll go away a month early. We'll go away a month early and spend some time. We were actually going through a really hard time at that time in our lives with some challenges. I believe I was pastoring at the time, and there was just things around us that God was calling us as a couple to do. And we were just trying to understand what God's saying and doing, and how does this kingdom thing fit into real, into a religious structure, and how do we handle this? What do we do? What are we here for? So we went on a drive for a few days. Went away for a few days. We went to Alexandria Bay, and we spent some time there. I think we went on a little boat tour, and got late into the evening. We went and rented a room in a motel there. We were excited. We got this fourth floor room with a balcony, and we were excited about this, and just to be able to relax and talk and just process what's going on in our lives and what God has for us next. And as we were there enjoying the evening, it got late. It must have been 11 o'clock at night. We decided, well, let's go out and enjoy the balcony. It was a nice evening. We went out and sat on the balcony, and we could see a long distance away from us. And we were, as we were sitting there, We were just talking about life and our family, and it was getting later, and we decided, well, you know what, let's go turn in, let's get some rest. And we got up to go back into our room, and you guessed it, the door was locked. The door was locked. I don't know what would happen to you at this point, but this wasn't going over well with me. This didn't fit my program. This didn't fit what I had in mind to happen next. And so as we were there, I looked at my wife, and she's saying, well, what are we going to do? We were on the back side of the motel. Things had quieted down in the town. So I said, well, I'll climb down. I'll figure this out. I'll fix this. You know, we'll get out of this situation. She says, don't you dare. I'm 8 months pregnant. And if you fall, then what'll happen? That's why we have our wives, you know, keep us logical and reasonable. So we were standing there. I think I prayed. I believe I did. But I started screaming. I started like, hey, we need help. You know, I started going crazy, you know. And we were like looking for people. And finally this car pulls up, and the people get out and start getting out. I'm like, yes, finally somebody will help us. Finally. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. And so I said, hey, we need help. And I tried to describe where I'm at. Well, how do I say this? We're locked up here on this balcony? What do you say at a time like this? So I used my best vocabulary to try to, with my loudest voice, explain to them our plight. And these people got out of their car and started looking at us. They started laughing at us. They were obviously drunk. And they were like, well, what is that crazy guy doing up on that balcony, acting like he needs help and needs somebody to help him? What's wrong with him? And who would ever dare to intervene in such a crazy situation? And they went on their way, wherever they were going. And I was like, what in the world? How could somebody dare to be so cold and hard? And they were thinking, what a crazy idiot up on that balcony, probably doing some kind of prank or whatever. So time went on. I kept doing my crazy thing, crying and screaming to people. And finally, somebody pulled up, got out of their car door, and started listening to me. I was crazy screaming, carrying on, please, we need help. We got to get out of here, And they came closer, started listening, close enough where they could really understand what I'm trying to say to them. They heard it. And I don't know who this person was. God bless this person. Had the audacity to go into the motel to the person at the front desk and say, hey, there's somebody up on a porch. I don't know what porch. I don't know what room it is. I don't know what the situation is. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know how crazy he is. He's probably high. He's probably this. He's probably that. Probably the other thing. But he says he's locked up there. Could you help him? I don't know what he went in and said. I don't know what I would have said. But he took me serious and acted upon it. Because 10 minutes later, one of the motel agents came up, unlocked the door, and let us in. Now, it's a funny story. It wasn't really funny, but it is a funny story. But that night, God spoke to my heart in a really clear way. It's not about you, Justice. It's not about the church you're pastoring. It's about the cries of the needy all around us. And it's easy for us to say, oh, they must, if only they get their act together, it must be a crazy person. They don't know how to ask for help. They're doing it in their way of abuse or whatever it might be. But oh, for the church to be the listening ear and to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to be what he wants us to be. As my family comes up, I want to read a few verses in John 17. Here's the heart of Jesus. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, he said it's one in us. It's not just unity for the sake of unity. It's connected with the Godhead purposes as well. That's our source of oneness, and the world will believe when we are that. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Folks, this Christmas season, let's look forward to Emmanuel, God with us, but also God in and through us. Let's open our hearts to it. Let's be excited about this amazing story and live it out, especially through this holiday season. and representing Christ wherever we go. We have a song we want to share with you. It's a song that's been meaningful to us as a family over the years. We enjoy singing it. It's actually been a while that we did, but we are excited to share with you. Hopefully it's an encouragement and a blessing as it has been to us.
Did you ever read of dear old brother Enoch? How he walked with God and stayed close to his side. How the devil tried in vain to separate them. So God came and took old Enoch for a ride.
Then again we read of dear old brother Moses. How he died and God came down to bury him. Then the devil came disputing o'er his body.
And the devil was defeated again.
Then Elijah met the devil on Mount Carmel. And he put him to the test, as you all know. And the power of God came down upon the altar. And the devil there received another blow.
So he cast the Hebrew children in the furnace, and he cast old Daniel in the lion's den. But he found the men of God too hot to handle,
and the devil was defeated again.
Then we read how little David met the giant. In the name of Israel's God, he knew he'd win. With a slingshot and a stone, he killed Goliath,
and the devil was defeated again.
So he came and pestered Job with great affliction, and he said, curse God and died, for he has sinned. And Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth,
and the devil was defeated again. Then the devil sought to kill the Christ of glory. From the manger to the cross he haunted him. He rejoiced when Jesus died on old Golgotha, and his cup of joy was full up to the brim. All the imps rejoiced to see our Savior buried. So they said, the battle's over and we win. But Christ arose up from the dead, a mighty victor, and old Satan was defeated again. Oh, our Lord will fight your battles if you let him. He will lead you safely through this wicked land. With the fullness of his grace he will engulf you. He will hide you in the hollow of his hand. He will fight the devil off when you are dying. Heaven's door he'll open wide to let you in. As you enter, you can shout, goodbye, old devil. I'm through with you and you're defeated again. I'm through with you and you're defeated again.
I invite y'all to stand with us. Gosh, what a good reminder. Justice, Martha, your whole family. It's just, it's awesome to have family, isn't it? We have new families apart where we are part of Living Hope. They're a part of us. And just to see what God is doing in the North Country, what he's doing in Messina, what he's doing in Malone, and really all over, and that we get to be a part of that. That we get to be a part of welcoming hope into every area, that we get to see needs and do something about it. I remember growing up, how many of you remember Dave Converse singing the song about Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I that. I love that story, and I love that reminder. How we do have so much to offer, whether it's finances, or whether it's a prayer, or whether it's a ride, or whether it's food, or whether it's the gospel, all of it. It is, all of it's the gospel. All of it is good news. God, we just thank you for what you're doing in the Martin family, God, in Living Hope, God, in our church and in our community, in Messina and Malone and the entire North Country. We thank you that we get to be a part of it. God, that we aren't just building memorials, but we are building your kingdom. We aren't just gathering together to celebrate what you've done, but we're gathering together to celebrate what you are doing in and through us. God, that all of us have a part to play, that every single one of us has hope to give. God, may our hearts be filled with hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.